step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I got my first real six string.
Today's Throwback Thursday. Puck with you until 1 o'clock. The great Curtis Crabtree is here as well. He's in the Red Box Producers booth. It's a smarter way to watch and to play. We're inside the Ballpark Realty Studio. Big thanks to Jerry. $750 donation yesterday. Our grand total for the Ronald McDonald House, $15,750. Let's talk a little National Football League with the great Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network, who joins us every Thursday at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by Salmon Service Centers and SalmonService.com. Now, he's back to his regular scheduled programming on the NFL Network. He's got to be off at 11:15, so we got to hammer him with important questions, but we thank him for doing it. You're back to the grind, sir.
Yes, sir. Back to the grind. So usually we spend the first 5 minutes talking about, I don't know, the weather and all that stuff. We'll just get right to it.
It's a lot of grab ass. I know. Trust me. I get in a meeting every week with the big boss. Can you stop grab assing, please, and just get to the sports? NFL, let's talk about the COVID stuff. I was actually going to ask you this question, and then it just drops today. For those who don't know, what is the latest from the NFL in terms of COVID unvaccinated players and what they'll do if games have to be canceled?
Well, you know, look, they sent this memo out, and we were just digesting it as it came out over the last hour. And basically they're saying, you know, if we can't reschedule a game because of a COVID outbreak amongst unvaccinated individuals on the team is responsible, you're going to forfeit, right? If we can't move that game, remember we slid games a couple of days last year. They had the one big reschedule where the Titans and the Patriots both had an outbreak, and it was multiple teams, multiple weeks and all this stuff, which they would try to do again, I assume, right? Like that, they want these games to be played. They still do. But today's memo kind of made it clear that, like, if we can't do it, if we can't reschedule, it just doesn't work, then you're going to forfeit, right? Like, that was not really stated last year. You're going to forfeit. it's another step by the NFL to really hammer the message home to the players that if you're vaccinated, you're going to get a lot more breaks than those who are unvaccinated, which, by the way, the numbers continue to go up, right? More and more players are getting vaccinated, and those that aren't, the last push is going to be when they report to training camp and realize, wait a second, so if we have an 8 o'clock meeting, I got to be there at 6 a.m., whereas everybody else could just show up at 7:59, and give me that needle, right? Like, so there were no forfeited games last year, or they're not going to have a 19th week. That's the headline, right? They're not going to create another week and push that back. If they can't get it in 18 weeks, that game's going to be forfeited, and whoever's responsible, it's going to be on you guys.
Do we know, Mike? I mean, do they need to make this public? I mean, I guess just the league needs to know. Let's just use Seattle for an example here. Do we know the percentage of members that are on the Seattle Seahawks coach, the entire team? How many are vaccinated?
I have not asked about the Seahawks specifically. I know a couple teams only because I've asked specifically, but I don't know about the Seahawks. But I do know that...
Can you share those teams and what they are, where they're at?
What's that?
Can you share what those teams are and where they are at percentage-wise?
Yeah, I mean, hold on. Let me go back, because today's memo had numbers in it, the latest numbers.
Oh, I can pull the memo up.
I believe. What's that?
I said I can try and pull that up, too, although it's in really small print there from Pelissero from his phone, so I can't really read it.
It said nearly all clubs have vaccinated 100% of their Tier 1 and 2 staffs. Clubs, as of today, more than 75% of players are in the process of being vaccinated, and more than half the clubs have vaccination rates greater than 80% of their players.
Okay.
Yeah, so more than half. So you had 16 and 80. 85 is the magic number where you can start to relax your protocols. So you've got already more than half that are either there or knocking right on the doorstep. Washington were laggards. The Colts were laggards. The Cowboys, much as Michael Irvin was going off on them, I was told they were creeping up on the 85% number. Trying to remember who else I had heard specifically. I have not asked about Seattle specifically, but I never got the sense that they were one of the teams that was, bringing up the rear. I know that
from my sense earlier in OTA season, I think they were getting close to the upper tier of things.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, you know, you'll have a couple of stragglers. I mean, Buffalo's going to have one. We know about that guy. He's out there very vocal, that Cole Beasley.
I need Wilson to do like a bedroom scene with Sierra again. Hey, Seattle, I'm vaccinated. We need something like that. Don't we? I mean, I think the public deserves it. What's the protocol for, let's say, their players and coaches that don't get vaccinated? They have to wear a mask all the time during the facility.
Yeah.
And do they have to fly separately on the charter plane, or do they get to fly with them?
Yeah, the tier one and tier two individuals can't fly with the team. You got to fly separately, and then for the players that are there, once you get to the location, you can't leave. Like if your buddies are all going to dinner and you're all vaccinated, the unvaccinated player is not allowed to leave his hotel room, except to go to meetings or whatever. And then they have done everything they possibly can, the league has, to, while they are not mandating vaccines, getting up as close to the line as they possibly can and incentivizing guys to get the needles in the arms.
Mike Garofalo is with us here for a few more moments. All brought to you by Salmon Service Center, salmonservice.com. You have any car issues, especially up in the northeast Seattle area, give our guys there at Salmon Service a call, salmonservice.com. Anything new to add? Where are we at with Richard Sherman? Obviously, that dominated our conversation last week. What are the next steps here for Sherman legally and, I guess, professionally and personally?
Well, legal process is going to have to play out. I don't know when his next hearing is, but, you know, that's going to take its course. And then, I think you're going to see and hear at some point from Richard Sherman about, you know, the situation and the steps that he's taking. I mean, I would think at some point, and it could take a while, you're going to get Richard to talk about things a little bit and the importance of mental health and all those things. He's not going to go away, right? Like, Richard Sherman's not going to disappear. So, listen, that'll be part of the, if he wants to play in this league again, that'll be part of the process of him proving to teams that it was more of an isolated incident, an isolated off season for him and kind of to the point where he was not acting in a manner consistent with the way you're supposed to be acting and supposed to carry yourself. He already put that statement out saying that he's going to get the help that he needs, and that process is underway from what I gather.
Is there, let's say he does want to play again, and a team signs him, does he face any punishment from the league?
Potentially, yeah. Because, now listen, they will let the legal process play out. So if this thing takes a while, and he's not, you know, the situation is not resolved. In the end, we already saw from the judge talking about his role in the community. You'll probably get, he's not a repeat offender. This is going to have the ability to plead down to something much lesser than what the first charges sounded like. I mean, again, it was burglary, domestic violence. I mean, those are really, really powerful words that kind of hit early on. And then he'll have the ability to plead down to something. So at that point, anytime you take a plea or do anything to get charges reduced or dismissed, the NFL can say, okay, well, now we can act on that. So, yeah, I would expect that at some point that they would, but we're a ways away from that.
I know this is so fresh, and I almost feel dirty, I guess, for asking it. Does he have a desire to play football again?
He did. I mean, he did, and then when he didn't get that love on the free agent market, it kind of messed with his head a little bit. This offseason has been, as I alluded to last week, an interesting one for Richard Sherman, and from what I gather, at some point, you know, really wasn't working out wasn't participating in his normal offseason regimen. So I would say probably at one point, perhaps he questioned his NFL future, but everything that I've been told was he entered the free agent market expecting to sign again. Now, this whole situation, it'll get him to reassess, and maybe he doesn't want to leave on this note. You know, I, at this point, I'm speculating because when something like this happens, that changes a lot of things for a lot of people.
Do you know if the Seahawks have reached out to anybody with the team, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, anyone toward him?
I do not know that.
Well, it'll be, you know, obviously, I ask that because in this situation, I think with him, you know, the one thing you want the most is for him, as he alluded in that Instagram message, is to seek the help. And I was happy to see that he's going to seek the help and try to get better. And, you know, sometimes, you know, football is not the only thing in life, you know, sports and or whatever, you know, whatever job you have is not the only thing in your life. And I think the most important thing is that he just gets the help that he needs.
Yeah, and listen, you know, some people will just say that. You know, I hope in this case, and I hope in every case, when you don't just say it to kind of, well, this is why this happened, and yeah, it really address your mental health. It's an important part of who you are.
We're about a week away. I know you got a few more minutes here at camp. Anything new on Jamal Adams? Are we getting close to anything?
I think close is relative.
Is a deal imminent?
Show up. Well, again, relative, because I know that they've made a strong offer. They are not lowballing him. They are willing to make him the highest paid safety. That is my understanding. Okay, the highest paid safety in the NFL. They valued this guy. So once you're there, now you just got to massage this thing, right? Because he's not in his right mind going to sit there and say, "Well, the highest paid safety. Well, now add $5 million a year." No, you're already in the neighborhood. So I'm going to say I'm going to tell you that I think they're close. Now, I don't mean to say that and everybody in 3 days goes, "Hey, no deal yet. You said they were close." No, because I know he's still, you know, pushing and pulling. And, you know, his agent had Tre'Davious White, and he really carried that thing out as far as he possibly could with the Bills before he finally did a deal. So I think in the end, you got a deal. If it's not at the start of training camp, it's sometime shortly thereafter, certainly before the start of the regular season. And I think it makes him the highest paid. I know if it's done, it makes him the highest paid safety in the NFL.
But does he want that?
I'm going to tell you.
Does he want to be paid? Does he want to be? Because it's interesting you use that. Does he want to be the highest paid safety in the NFL? Or does he want to go to another stratosphere where he views himself more of a safety, more of a just a defensive specialist?
I mean, I know that that's the argument, that's the counter argument. Well, don't just make this the highest paid safety. We need a little bit more on top of that. But you're always shooting for that. I mean, I'll never forget, not this last contract, the contract before, Russell Wilson, when he did the extension, was asking for $40 million a year up until the last day of the deal. Then he finally took 21 or 22 or whatever it was, right? Like, so you can ask for whatever you want up until the last minute where you go, all right, we pushed this enough. It's time to do the deal. So you keep doing it to try to get the team as much as possible, and you try to get them to extend. But look, they're already there. Justin Simmons became the highest paid safety this offseason with the Broncos. They're getting ready to jump him. So as long as that's the case, I'm telling you, they're close. It's going to get done. I'm not giving you a time frame because I'm sure Jamal and his agent wouldn't agree with that right now because they're trying to do what they need to do to push it as far as possible. But I have no fear. He signed a long-term deal with the Seahawks before the start of the season.
Okay, there you go. Book it. And if it doesn't happen, I'll send you the email for Mike, and then you guys can attack him personally.
Well, thank you for not giving out my cell phone number. That's
You're the best. All right, enjoy your stint there on TV, and welcome back to the real world, all right? Now you got to get back to work and start doing stuff.
Let's rock and roll. I'm going to hang up with you, and I'm going to go on NFL Network.
So I'm watching
keep the
it right
radio
now.
On, but put
Dak Prescott's
keep the radio
got
on, but put NFL Network on too, people.
Yeah, Prescott's got just a, you know, swamp ass, man. He's got a sweaty ass throwing passes there in training camp for the Cowboys. I'm watching it right now.
I notice our connection isn't very good either. So, yeah. Which I'm surprised. I am surprised. I thought they were going to start yelling in my ear, the connection's bad. We got to go to you in the middle of this interview, and I was going to have to jump, but thankfully they did.
You're great. All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, Buck. See you, man.
Great, bud. There is Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, all brought to you by Salmon Service Center, salmonservice.com. Here you go. All right, that's a little bit of news from Mikey G. They are close, expect the deal to get done before the start of the season. They have made a big, I lost what he said in the beginning. They made a big deal to him, a big offer. But the meat of it is here. They are willing to make him the highest paid safety in the NFL. We'll get to, Curtis, we'll get you to kind of separate that last 35, 40 seconds, and we'll play it back. And certainly, I mean, it's not necessarily a surprise, probably. I mean, there probably was some doubt. What are they going to do? What are they going to offer him? You go out and make a trade like that for a guy like Jamal Adams and what they gave up. There's a party who would say they'd be completely foolish not to give him a contract and make him what he wanted because of what you gave up for him. Although the other side would be, I can hear Hugh arguing it. Well, you don't make another a mistake that Heath probably thinks they made with the trade. You don't compound that mistake by giving him this amount of money. But it always felt that they were going to do that from the get-go.
Yeah, and I have not heard the team say anything other than they love Jamal Adams.
Correct.
So I understand the people out there who don't love what Jamal Adams put out there last year, that he didn't look as adept in coverage as his quote-unquote PFF grades showed he could be with the Jets throughout
PFF!
The year. And he did struggle at times, whether it was injuries or otherwise in coverage last year, but I do not see the Seahawks doing anything other than making Jamal Adams a key part of their next several seasons.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you right there. I mean, And did he already sign?
No. Oh. A little slightly different.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, he has just signed.
No, that would have been hell of a timing, wouldn't it?
Son of a bitch. Breaking news. What do we got?
The Seattle Kraken have made a trade.
Okay. Hey. What do we got? Hey. Hold on. Where's it? It's our trade sounder. Anytime there's a trade. What do we got?
Via Frank Saravelli.
This
Kraken,
guy's unbelievable.
I know he's good, isn't he? He's like the hockey Woj, man.
I'm trying to get him on. He's stiff-arming me.
So the Kraken are trading Tyler Pitlick to the Calgary Flames for a 2022 fourth-round pick.
Yeah! Well, what was your favorite moment of the Pitlick era, huh? Well, hey, and you know what pisses me off? Is when we do our pronunciation at 12:30.
Yes.
I could have got him,
yeah,
right?
And now
he's off the team. Can we still use him?
Well, technically, he's still they haven't filled the roster.
Okay,
spot,
can
so
we still use him for our game at 12:30, where I'm going to go and attempt to pronounce every name on the team and to see how many I get correct, and then Curtis, who has studied it last night, now can pronounce every name. He's going to correct me on the ones I get wrong. Now there's 30 players. I believe I'll get 10 right. I'm setting the bar very low. I think 10 right. 10 out of 30. So we'll see. All right, well, there we go. Because today is kind of the big trade day. Tomorrow is the draft and Saturday. And away we go. So the Kraken getting moving and making deals, making moves. And it's exciting. Exciting to see a team being built right up in front of you.
Yesterday was certainly fun. Like,
that's cool.
Being down there and actually experiencing that and getting a chance to actually talk to a couple of the players that are now going to wear that sweater, you know, and be a part of the inaugural team in theory that they don't trade them and all that. Yeah. It was
broadcast sounded great.
It made the whole thing feel more tangible.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Francis has been in place for a while, Hextall a few weeks ago and everything like that. They actually have a team now.
Yeah.
It's not a concrete roster or anything, but they actually have a team. And I think, at least for me, that started to make the whole NHL expansion thing feel more tangible and real.
And I'll say this, too. And because he needs a pick-me-up, because he, you know, let's frankly, he lives in Maple Valley and he's half Canadian. And I think anytime you combine those two things, you need a pick-me-up. We are just blessed at this radio station to have Furness working.
Yeah,
here. We are so blessed. He when I was listening on the boat in between the Coors Lights, listening to him break down players, and it's not like he knew every single player, had great insight on all of, but on the ones he did, and just the understanding of the game, the understanding of the process, he is just, it's so invaluable to have someone like this to be able to educate everyone on what is taking place. So unbelievable.
Ian is to hockey as if, like, if all of a sudden Formula One put a race in Seattle, you'd be set. I'd be the guy.
Well, first of all, we got the F1 recap show that's going to be Mondays at 11:30 after a race. Now, I frankly want it every week.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's what I want. Even though they're not having a race this week, we can preview it. We can do it. You know, we can have it. You know, but Curtis is like, I don't know if I want to do it every week. I think if you give me 2 minutes every week, I'm in.
Well, I could probably do 2 minutes.
Two, three minutes. That's all we need from you, Curtis. That's all we need from you.
I'm enjoying the text line right now. No, Pitlick was my favorite player.
Yeah, a lot of Pitlick. Yeah.
And then also, see a Pitlick, you bum.
Yeah, what a. You know, I didn't like him from the get-go. The 49451 asking if Brady Henderson was out there on the water with his shirt off and your wife and other girls wanting to see. Just say, it was asked several times. Where's Brady? Can we swing by Brady? Brady even offered at one point, if he was around, that I could tie up by his boat because he lives on a boat. I did not mention that to my wife because if I did, she would have left the boat, jumped in the water, and swam to where his boat is. So, I mean, it's a known fact. My wife is in love with Brady Henderson. All right. On that note, we'll move on. Coming up, we got Tweet of the Day. We got Ryan Leaf coming up at noon. We haven't talked about that story yet. I know it's when these stories break, everyone's on Twitter. What are you going to say about Nick Rolovich? What's your opinion on this one? Oh, I don't know. I have 3 hours of Twitter. It's called a radio show every day. You know, I like to save the opinions for that. Twitter I use to just make fun of myself and other people. Obviously, that's a huge story. We got to address it next.
App iHeartRadio.
Back in college, we would have to go around in the frat and go serenade all the sororities, and we picked this song for some reason. I don't know why we did. But hell, I'll tell you this, it didn't work. None of it worked. Or maybe it was the people singing it. Yeah, it's probably that. All right, it is, it's an 80s throwback Thursday. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us here until 1 o'clock. We got Tweet of the Day coming up next. We got Ryan Leaf coming up at noon on our top story of the day, brought to you by Farm Fresh Northwest. I'm staring at Mikey G, who's on the television right now, just off our radio hit, right back onto TV, and I guarantee, I just tweeted about what he said to us, and I guarantee his phone went off just now, because it probably has it buzzed, and he looked down, because I just sent a text. if you missed it, we'll play some. We'll play about 30 seconds of it, Mike on with us every Thursday at 11 o'clock, brought to you by Salmon Service Center, salmonservice.com. He says a deal will get done between Jamal Adams and the Seahawks before the start of the season. He says the Seahawks are willing to make him the highest paid safety in the league, and they are, quote, they are close. So if there was any reservation at all about a deal getting done, it sounds like there are none. Working out kind of the maybe the specific language of the contract, and Adams's camp, and which Mike agreed is yeah, you're going to make him the highest paid safety in the sport, but we kind of want a little more because we want to be paid more like a defensive specialist. And I think we've all kind of, right, Curtis, have thought that was going to be the case from Adams's camp, that, hey, I'm just not a safety. I do so much more for the team. So,
well, I've always said they can ask all they want.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're going to get to the degree they think they're going to get.
But I guess the point being, if you were on this side, that, well, how much is he going to get? Listening to him and what Mike just told us, he will be and has been offered a contract that will make him the highest paid safety in the NFL. And I know that there's going to be some that are going to disagree with that and think it's a bad move and that it's not good, that it's not worth, A, what they gave up to get him, and then, of course, the price tag in which it cost. All right. I don't even know when this news broke. I was at home. I was at home taping a golf podcast with Brian Mogg. And then I saw this. I saw the news that came out about Nick Rolovich electing not to get a COVID vaccination. And he is. We have been a COVID-free show on this show. I know others have not, but we have really, from 10 to 1. I have done my best to avoid all of it. And people say, well, why? I mean, it's been a story and all that. Yeah, I know. But you guys come to us. The way I do a show, the way I like to do a show, is just fun, like fun and games. And I know there are times when it's got to be serious. We try to be sarcastic. When it is serious, we try to diffuse that seriousness with a little bit of humor to try to talk about something. I have not dwelled on the whole thing of COVID for the year and a half just because, I don't know, I think a lot of you listeners come here just to kind of get away from all of that, to be entertained. The problem, it's hard, is when sports and this whole thing intertwine. There's just no way not to talk about it. There's no way to kind of dance around it. And so if you are not aware, Nick Rolovich is going to be the only coach. Hell, he might be the only coach in America. I mean, maybe there's someone else. I have not heard of another coach publicly saying they will not get the vaccination. He certainly is the only one in the Pac-12 because he is not going to the media day next week. He put out a tweet yesterday saying, as the Pac-12 conference has required that all in-person participants at next week's football media day be fully vaccinated, I will participate remotely and look forward to talking about our football team and the incredible young men in our program. I have elected not to receive a COVID-19 vaccine for reasons which remain private. While I have made my own decision, I respect that every individual, including our coaches, staff, and student athletes, can make his or her own decisions regarding the COVID-19 vaccination. I will not comment any further on my decision. Now, there's been a lot of misinformation out there. Yes, Washington State, and I'll read you the statement from President Kirk Schultz here in a second. Yes, the university has their position on this is that they, and here's the key word, they expect all students, faculty, staff, and volunteers to be fully vaccinated. They were the first school in this state to come out with this. Washington followed afterwards. Many other schools after them. But here is the big but. They expect all students to do this. There are exemptions to this. And the three exemptions are religious, medical, and personal. Well, you can use personal for anything. I personally don't want to get vaccinated, right? Medical reason, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. Do they have to show someone proof of a medical situation not to get it? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where HIPAA falls into that. If you say you have a medical condition, can they challenge you on that? I don't know. I guess if you just avoid it by saying it's my personal choice or it's a religious standpoint that I don't want to do it. And there has been a lot. This has been a political issue. We're a politically free show, COVID free show. Like to keep it fun. I understand the feedback. If I look at the text line, it's going to blow up and be all over the place. And I saw what it was yesterday. I can only offer my opinion as an alum and a fan of the university. Okay, this is how I feel. I am extremely embarrassed and disappointed in him. Extremely, beyond embarrassed that we have to deal with this, that our fan base now has got to be dragged through the mud from everyone. Because I just saw the reaction. I heard the reaction on our air from some, and then I had to listen to it, and then I had to read about it, and then I had to see tweets about it. And it just makes us look stupid. and people pile on. And as a fan of this school, it bothers me. It just bothers me. Instead of talking about the football team next week, we're not going to talk anything about the football team. There's going to be no questions about Jaden Delora. There's going to be no questions about looking forward to actually having a full season with fans back in attendance. Because all the questions next week, when they go to the Pac-12 Media Day, are going to be about Nick Rolovich's decision not to get vaccinated. And also Nick Rolovich's standpoint, really from day one about this whole thing. He has had a very... Listen, you can go back and look and read about every situation where COVID has been brought up with him. He has been very cavalier about it. He's been very open about it. You can read between the lines how he views this virus and this pandemic. It started at Oregon State when 35 kids didn't play, and then he became angry that people even asked him where they were at. He was defiant then. He was defiant with the whole Cassidy Woods situation. Now, again, I believe Cassidy Woods should have been kicked off the team immediately after illegally recording his head coach. I mean, that just crossed the line, and it was terrible. He should have been removed from the team ASAP. They allowed him to stay on, but let's not mince words here what Rolovich told them. Rolovich said, which these kids were given an opportunity to opt out of the season, you opt out. I mean, I don't know. Your scholarship's basically pulled. I mean, that's what he said. I mean, that was the gist of the conversation. I'll tell you from a personal experience in dealing with him, and we've had a fun interview with him. I'll just tell you right now, they were upset when I interviewed him, and I got him to announce that Jaden Delora was the starter. He didn't like it. Now, you didn't have to answer the question. You did. You chose to, and then you chose to acknowledge it later. But they were, it like bothered him. Okay. I thought we were getting an anti-Mike Leach. You know, someone who could win, but someone at the same time who could represent the university a little bit better than Mike Leach did, who cared about his players a little bit more, who maybe respected the media a little bit more. I was looking forward to seeing a coach that maybe opened up practices to maybe talked about injuries. Why is so-and-so not playing? What's the status? Are they on the team anymore? Instead, I'll be honest with you, we got a coach that was more defiant than Mike Leach, more willing not to tell you anything what's going on. That's extremely disappointing to me. These head coaches, and he's not the only one, that continue to hide behind this stuff of not telling you and giving you access and information is just wrong, and I don't understand it. I never will understand it. It gives no competitive advantage. There's plenty of head coaches that have been open and willing to talk about situations involving players and has not affected their playing time, hasn't affected their play on the field whatsoever. Mike Riley was one hell of a damn coach in this conference and talked about injuries all the time. Told you who was in, who was out. But he has had four missteps massively in a head coach of this university. And he's been on the job, I don't know, a year and a half? He's coached four games. And I'll say this, there is going to be a meeting of the head here, and I think it's going to be soon. Because the statement that President Kirk Schultz put out 4 hours after Nick Rolovich announced that he's not getting the vaccination. Now again, I'll say this. There is a reason, could be a reason medically. Let's put that out there. Yeah, there could be. He could have a medical situation that he did not disclose for the reason he can't take the vaccination. Now, I am not educated enough to know if you do have a certain medical situation, how detrimental it would be to the individual. So it could be, I mean, very well could be a big issue. I would have liked for him to say that. Yeah, I've got a medical condition, I can't take it. By not announcing that, you have basically have said, I'm just not taking it for personal reasons. Kirk Schultz said this in a statement, in a quote yesterday. Washington State University expects all students, faculty, staff, and volunteers to be fully vaccinated before the start of the fall semester. As the state's land-grant research university, WSU has an obligation to serve the public good and promote the health and safety of its communities. The science clearly shows that COVID-19 vaccine nearly eliminates the chance of death or serious illness related to COVID-19 infection and is a critical element in protecting public health and locally and worldwide. Washington State University respects the right of individuals to decide whether to get vaccinated. WSU has instituted an exemption process for those who have medical or non-medical reasons for not receiving the vaccine. Those requesting an exemption will be required to wear a mask and maintain physical distancing and may be subject to other public health measures when on WSU property. Therein lies the great conflict with a head football coach. How much physical distancing does he need to have on the sidelines? How much physical distancing does he need to have in meetings? Has he been in meetings? I guarantee this has been the case. He's been in meetings without a mask on. So are you allowing that to take place? What about how many percentage of players on the team are not vaccinated? We just got talking to, with Garofolo about this, and I believe the rules will apply to the university as well. If you have non-vaccinated players, how are you going to travel? Are they going to have to travel separately? Is the coach going to have to travel separately? And then the cost of the university now to continuing to test players like every day, that's a cost to the university that they've got to make because individuals have chosen not to get vaccinated. If they're vaccinated, they no longer have to test them. I'm more on this with Ryan Leaf coming up at noon. Disappointed, embarrassed for my school. Embarrassed for Nick Rolovich. He has embarrassed the fan base yesterday in a huge way. All right, tweet of the day. Come
and hit the course.
Let's laugh a little bit. We'll have more on the Rolovich distraction coming up at the top of the hour with Ryan Leaf. He'll join us, former Coug, quarterback great. Top story of the day brought to you by Farm Fresh Northwest. Tweet of the day. We do it every day at 11:45. You can send us tweets, funny stuff. That's what we want, Jason Puckett 20 or at Curtis_Crabtree. This comes from alert listener Kevin Shockey, and we love uncomfortable, funny TV news stories.
Tonight, our Emily Longnecker shares the new efforts to keep an unwelcome mess off front lawns.
Well, we've all seen the signs in people's yards asking folks to pick up after their dogs. Well, now some folks in a Fishers neighborhood are putting out a different sign after they say a woman has been running around their neighborhood and going to the bathroom in their front yard.
We call her the pooper. We have lots of names for her.
I didn't even know anyone put a sign up.
All except her real name. The woman, residents in Fishers' Windermere neighborhood say jogs through the area in the early morning and leaves behind her calling card of sorts.
We have found her droppings in our yards. She carries her own toilet paper, and she just leaves the toilet paper behind her droppings.
Last week or the week before, she did it in three or four different yards down the street, every other yard.
Neighbors say the same thing happened last summer.
Hell, she eating grape
nuts? Again this summer. We don't see it in the winter, so.
I have not personally witnessed the pooper.
No one has to. Neighbors know the signs, even beyond the obvious one or two.
The toilet paper is the calling card, so we know when we see that she's been around.
This week, more evidence when a neighbor's doorbell camera recorded a woman doing her business. We can't show you the video because it's been turned over to the Fishers police.
They can't really do anything until they catch her, you know, so. But it's gross.
We believe the lady is a runner.
It does happen. I've been a runner my whole life, and it does happen, but you plan for it.
My family and I, we've put kind of like wagers on why this woman is doing it.
I don't know. I think that she just likes to do her business outdoors where everyone can maybe see.
See, I'm happy for plumbing.
Me too.
Neighbors say they're not happy about the cleanup.
We don't want to leave it there, so we just pick it up, and it is a problem. It's definitely a problem.
I mean, at least she could bring a bag like the rest of us do when we're walking our dogs.
I know that runners, this tends to happen if they run long distances, but this is an everyday occurrence.
Monique Miller's all for exercising, but if this is going to happen in her yard because of it.
She, maybe she needs to get a treadmill.
Well, then she's pooping on the treadmill. The reporter is Emily Longnecker. You can follow her on Twitter at EmilyWTHR. Emmy award-winning reporter out of Indianapolis, Indiana. She had just a great line when she tweeted this story out. Go to journalism school, they said. You'll make a difference, they said. And that's her report. A woman running and pooping. If you watch, we'll put the video up on the website. they have put a sign up next to the area where the woman poops of a person pooping and like Xing it out. Please don't poop. At first, I thought this was all just a spoof, but it's real. That happens. You know, you go out for a little jog and you're like, tighten up. Ryan Leaf, a former Wazoo quarterback. He's a YouTube star. He's filling in for Rich Eisen, media personality. Ryan Leaf, Nick Rolovich, not vaccinated. That decision, what does it mean for the team? What does it mean for the school moving forward? We're going to talk to one of the more famous alums of the university, Ryan Leaf, coming up.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.